We mark our completion of 3 years with you. Years we looked forward to from the night we met with your search committee here in this beautiful space. Years we have thoroughly enjoyed as we walked with you through joy and sorrow, in sickness and in health. It is time to take stock. It was 6 years ago that we shifted from subtle to interim ministry, wanting to assess our health each year and our fit. So far, we have been blessed both with good health and with challenging opportunities. Your search committee made clear your longing for continuity after so much turnover in your pulpit and for help in building a solid foundation for a full-time settled ministry. For our part, after a time in Tidewater, Virginia, we wanted to move back to this area to be close to family. We too wanted to stay put for a little while and to take on just that sort of challenge. And so today, 3 years into our ministry in this awesome place, it seems only fitting that we should reflect once again on our fitness and our fit. Do we still have energy for the work? Are we still able to serve you well? At this stage of our lives, I think we take one day at a time, as many of you do, but we continue to feel well and enthusiastic for our work with you. And in many ways, we think you are well fitted for this work, too. You work well together. You care about each other, as was so clear most recently in your spontaneous response to the emergency, water emergency downstairs. You care about our children. You care about this sacred space. And you care about Loudoun, too. You have a solid sense of what you are all about as you embrace diversity, nurture spirituality, and work for justice in the world. As was clear again last week when you recognized new members and shared deeply of your joys and sorrows, much as you just did this morning, you embody the spirit of love to which you recommit yourselves each Sunday. You continue to draw newcomers as you seek truth together, help your neighbors, and dwell together at peace. So much is going well. And yet on the downside, this spring's stewardship drive, like those before it in our time here, revealed little enthusiasm for change. On the contrary, you will be dealing after church today with a major financial shortfall, both for the current year and in the budget for the upcoming year. Pledges and payments have both fallen. The auction this year raised less, too, and drew fewer people. Far from moving toward more ministry and more space, you will be struggling today even to sustain what you have. It's puzzling and dispiriting. What's wrong? The question we ask today is whether it's enough, whether we are not just sustaining this congregation, but moving forward to build that foundation for full-time ministry and effective service to the growing community all around us. For starters, though we sense among you a deep joy in being together, one can't escape observing that, we also sense some ambivalence, both a sense that you want to grow and a fear that growth may threaten what you already have. It may bring uncomfortable change. You may lose, some people may fear, what you value most about this community. It's intimacy, it's friendships. And it's got to be scary as well to think about leaving behind or even changing this lovely building here in this lovely setting with its inspiring history. We can talk about crowding and more practical space. We can realize in our heads that growth is necessary, is needed to serve this community more effectively, but the risk of losing its charm and intimacy make it hard to feel enthusiastic about change. It's got to be a little scary. And so we hang on to what we have. Not to mention the scariness of having to dip deeper into our pockets to pay for change. And not to mention that when we're ambivalent and maybe a little scared, it's hard to talk about it it's easier to hold back, fall away a little. We too have struggled with our feelings. We've struggled with this sermon, taken this approach and that. Still, it kept sounding so heady, like a consultant's report. And though we are consulting ministers, that's not what we aim for in sermons. Not much at first to reach the heart. We began to ask ourselves, as we often do when we feel stuck, where is God in this? Where is God? Where is something, the call of something beyond ourselves? And then it occurred to me, where is God? Not just in this sermon, but in the struggle we are all facing together. Where is God in UUCL's vision of its future? Where is God in how we go about shaping that vision? Now, I think you know us pretty well by now. You know that we're not talking about a distant being who's managing our lives from on high. We're talking about the spirit of life and love, the God we experience in our daily lives as we connect deeply with that place within us where we feel the call to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly in the presence of the holy. Where is that God of our hearts in our vision of what the world could be and what we could be as we move forward together? If we imagine ourselves house hunting, as we did a few moments ago, where is God in that house we're looking for together? You know that your leadership has begun to talk with our neighbors in the Sterling congregation. Where is God in what we and they might do together? It's hard to let go of our preoccupation with our individual wants, but when we look for God in this way, it's easier. Easier to come together to shape a larger shared vision of what's best for us and our community. Change doesn't happen just because something is a good idea. It happens only when we're enthusiastic about it, because it's so much more exciting than where we are now. When we really want to change, when we get pumped up about it, we begin to take charge of our future. It feels urgent that we make some change. When I say urgent, then I don't mean that we face a crisis. We don't. What we face now is manageable. It's only urgent as we compare it with that exciting vision of what could be. But if we don't come together around such a vision, we'll have to recognize that things will stay pretty much as they are, have been. And maybe that's not so bad. You don't have to be big to care about each other. And your neighbors, you may have to cut back a little. You'll stay small in a county that's growing all around you. You'll miss exciting opportunities to serve yourselves and your neighbors. But one way or another, you'll make do as you have in the past and still change your own lives. When I talk about an exciting vision, I don't mean changing your mission. Even if you stay small and stay here, you'll still embrace diversity, nurture spirituality, and work for justice in this community and the world. I mean your vision of how you go about it. The mission you've set for yourselves is succinct and to the point. But it would fit almost any UU congregation at any time, in any place, of any size. To make it your own, you also need a vision of what you want UUCL to look like, feel like, as you pursue this mission at this time, in this beautiful area, with the gifts and resources within your reach. What sort of demographic profile will best serve this mission? What kind of staff? What kind of space? Whom do you want to serve? On what scale? And where do you need to be to do it most effectively? The vision of a community grows out of its sense of calling. It's like an individual's calling. It's a sense of who you are at your core. Some would speak of it as what God calls you to do and to be. Others might speak of it as a sense of inner identity. Either way, as you probe for it, it gives birth to a vision to which you can't say no. You may turn your back on it, try to get away, but it keeps coming back how to go about developing this vision. It won't be enough to write a proposal and take a quick vote. Without first talking about our hopes and listening to each other in depth, it will be like the long-range plan I heard about at another congregation we served later on after this event. A committee had worked hard and written a report and brought it all beautifully bound into the church office and placed it on the administrator's desk. No discussion, no voting, no reading it. It was never heard from again. And of course, the committee, feeling unappreciated, fell away from the church. Here's where a church is different than a secular group. We don't just talk about what we want as individuals, debate our ideas, and count the votes, knowing that we're free to leave if we lose. We care about each other too much for that. As a free religious community in our liberal tradition, we're bound together in covenant to walk together as we live out our mission. We stay in conversation together. We live our lives together. Nobody loses. Living in covenant means we're committed to listen in equal depth to each other's hopes and dreams as well as our own, to reflect deeply and prayerfully on what's best for all of us together as a religious community. It's a process that's called holy conversation. We've spoken about it before. It's a conversation among ourselves, within ourselves, and some would say with God. It's holy because it goes deep. It's in holy conversation that we will find ourselves coming together around a shared vision of the church we feel called to become and a path to shaping it. We'll share it enthusiastically because the depth of our holy conversation has brought us closer together and closer to something larger than ourselves. It has deepened our joy in being together and excited us. Now it's not just a good idea, it's our common future, our shared future. It feels like who we were meant to be. It's a conversation that goes on in the context of our Unitarian Universalist roots. It's not that our tradition is better than any other, and indeed ours is rooted in more ancient traditions. But now it's our tradition. It has branches of its own. But it's the genius of our pluralistic approach to religion that we see ourselves as embracing and embodying all these branches. That's where God is in this sermon. And that's where God is in the future of this congregation. God is in the depth and the breadth alike of the vision that binds us together. You don't have to call it God's vision. Certainly not a stairway to heaven, like Jacob's, but it's holy. And if in the quiet times of your life this summer you pray and ponder, and if Sunday after Sunday you come together in this the quiet and beauty of this space, side by side, and share of your deepest longings, you will begin to feel it emerging. In much the way we used to watch an image developing on film in a dark room. Anybody old enough to have done that? A sense of urgency and the passion will begin to grow around it as the vision emerges ever more clearly, because you will know that it belongs to all of you and is larger than any one of you. Your long-range planning committee is going to be working on a plan. It's going to be studying the path you've already traveled and the challenges and possibilities that lie ahead. They'll be reporting to you in the months ahead. In the meantime, you'll be practicing your listening. When you get the report, it will be your turn to reflect and pray some more. Not to file the report away, not just to vote it up or down, but to listen and reflect prayerfully on the report in light of your summer of prayer and pondering, to reflect on the possibilities the report puts before you, but still not taking a vote, an immediate vote. before even thinking about voting, you'll want to listen some more. What is your heart telling you about what's best for this whole congregation and for the people of this county who need our vision and our message? For gay and lesbian folk who aren't yet equal citizens in this Commonwealth? For transgender folk who aren't even talked about, can't be talked about? For poor folk trying to make it in this county of wealth and inequality, where basic health care is not yet a right? For African Americans still struggling to overcome a heritage of exploitation? For children all around us who need our message of acceptance and love? And what is your heart telling you about what's best for this life-giving but sadly exploiting planet we live on? What is all this listening telling you about what you feel called to be and to do as a community, a religious community? And then, you know what? If you draw each other out and really listen to your hearts, you won't even need to take a vote. It'd be a good idea, for the record, and to make things clear. But you'll feel it. You'll know. You'll begin to see your future. The steps that will take you toward it will begin to fall into place, as if you were climbing Jacob's ladder into heaven. You'll hardly be able to contain your enthusiasm. If Phyllis and I should live so long and come back in 10 or 20 years, we probably wouldn't recognize you. I hope not. Not on the outside. But we'd know when we came in that we were in the right place. We'd know who at the core of your being as a congregation you really are, and we'd be very proud. We'd be very proud, and so I think would be your neighbors all across the county and this region. And so will you. May it be so.